FCC's tricks started with the units of electricity. This is how they built the false foundation for the guideline. Let's just take a little tour of what we know about electricity for a second. We have amps, or which is short for amperes. Okay, that's the amount of current that's flowing. That you're familiar with that, right? 12
right.
amps, 5 amps.
Yeah.
Good. Volts. Volts is like the pressure, the electrical potential difference between one side and the other side. It's like a hose that you have a little sprayer on the end. And while you don't have the hose opened up, you got a bunch of pressure in there. And then you open the hose, and then it flows, and then that's the amps when it flows. Okay? Watts. Watts are for the rate of energy transfer. Joules are for the total energy transferred. Wait a minute. Hold on. Watts are the rate of it going. Joules are the amount of energy that flowed.
Oh.
So what do we care about? We care about the total poison. We don't really care about the rate at which poison is given to us.
Gotcha.
We care about how much we're going to get in the end. Well, that's why they picked watts, so they could fool you and not focus on the total amount that you'll get over time. Well, you know and I know that time matters, because it's as simple as this, the same question I asked you earlier. Hey, Steve, how far did you drive? And you're the FCC, and you tell me, oh, we drove 30 miles per hour. And I go, what? You didn't answer my question. How far did we drive? Well, 30 miles per hour. We're good. That's what's going on.
Yeah.
That's the nonsense of the guideline, because it doesn't look at the total dose, only at the rate of poison delivery. So, Steve, I'm going to put in front of you two beakers. Imagine two 500 milliliter beakers, one in your right hand, one in your left hand. And I'm going to tell you what the FCC guideline tells you. I'm going to put into that beaker poison at the rate of 2 drops per second. And now I'm going to start doing it. I'm going to ask you, which one are you going to drink? The one on your left or the right? Which beaker do you want to drink? Because you have to drink one, because we're installing this in front of your house. So you don't have a choice. You've got to drink one of the two. Which one? Do you know? Do you have enough information?
No.
All right, so I'll give you the rest of the information. In the beaker on the left, you're going to do 2 drops a second for 10 seconds. So you have a smidge of poison. And in the beaker on the right, you're going to get 2 drops a second for 24 hours, and you're going to have a full beaker of poison. All right, which beaker do you want to drink?
I don't want to drink either one of them.
Well, you have to, because we put this out in front of your house. You have no choice. So which one are you going to drink?
The one on the left.
There you go. You're going to pick the smidge every time. Of course you will. Well, the smidge is driving past a cell phone tower or a small cell. And the full beaker of poison is living next to a cell phone tower, unless you live on the second and third stories. Now you're drinking 5 beakers of poison a day. That's the truth.
Because
that's
up,
what's going on.
Because you're up higher?
Yes. You're getting a direct main beam.
Wow.
And when you get there and you look at what happened to those poor people in Sebastopol, you will see what really happened. And you will see that over the course of 10 years, at these rates, which were just 2% at the FCC microwave radiation guideline, 5 deaths, 14 illnesses, it's continuing today. Young people dying, 27 to 31, dead, breast cancer. 16-year-old girl gets a cyst on her ovary. 6 years later, 15-pound cancerous tumor taken from her ovary. This is reality. This is what's happening, because they sleep in 2% of the FCC microwave radiation guideline. So now you go back to this watt thing. Okay, well, specific absorption rate, SAR, was only one option. They also looked at specific absorption, SA, and they had to make a choice between the two. Well, one, SA, looks at energy over time. It is the full dose. It's done by watt seconds. SAR is only the rate of exposure. So why did the FCC choose SAR over SA? They did it in order to hide the truth. They did it to meet a wireless spectrum auction deadline back in 1996 to make sure that they didn't fall behind the Europeans. This is the truth. I heard directly from Dr. George Carlo 2 days ago. He calls me up. We have a nice long conversation about it. The captured FCC pulled a science trick for a business goal. This was just plain old boy network, short-sighted greed. It's now 34 years later, and we're finally correcting this obvious and deadly trick. Hey, do you pay your electrical bill every month?
Yeah.
You know what you're paying for?
No.
You're paying for kilowatt hours. Look at your bill.
Oh, yeah, right.
Well, you're not paying for watts. You're paying for watts times time. You're paying for the rate of electrical delivery times the time that you use it.
Exactly.
Well, why are we looking at microwave radiation exposure any differently? Why are we looking at only the rate of exposure? Why aren't we looking at the total amount? And when you do, when you actually try to figure out what is the total amount, well, then you're going to get to some very good conclusions. How do I know? I made an OSHA claim in 2013 against my school system for indiscriminate microwave radiation exposure guidelines, or for what they were doing to kids in schools. And I said, hey, listen, I'm going to make this claim to protect the teachers, but my kids there too. And so what I really want to know is how much radiation is my child receiving in a classroom in a six-hour school day? That's what I'd like to know.
Did they tell you?
Well, we did. They wanted to dismiss me right away, and I said, I'm sorry. I'm one of these weird, intellectually honest people, and I'm really good with math, and I'm going to do it with you. But we're going to actually agree on what are the equations it takes to figure out what is the total microwave radiation exposure for my child. Once we do, then we each can make decisions. You can make a decision whether to uphold my claim, and then I can make a decision whether or not I'm going to let my daughter be in the classroom. But I need the answer so I can make a decision. Will you work with me? Well, of course we will. Thank you. Dr. Jeffrey Lodwick, Federal OSHA, and I exchanged emails over the course of 10 days. And we did this, sharing with the FCC. Edwin Mantiply, right at the FCC, explained the whole thing. We worked it all out. Guess what? Units we selected. Not watts. Joules. Because we had to take a look at the exposure over time. And it's very simple. You have a peak of microwave radiation. It has a specific duration. You assign the peak to that duration. It's a BB of energy. You throw it in a bucket. Then you calculate the next peak, throw it in the bucket, and the next peak, and you throw it in the bucket. Then you add it up over the day. Here's the answer. There's an animation at electrosensei.com/counter.html. That's electrosensei.com/counter.html. Nice little JavaScript counter. And a little animation that'll show you that in the course of a six-hour school day, when you finally do this calculation in joules, you will have exceeded the FCC microwave radiation exposure guideline 8 times in one day, 40 times in 1 week from just one wireless access point operating in a classroom, no other devices. That's the answer.
Wow.
And you are comparing apples to oranges. You're comparing joules, the proper unit, to watts, the FCC microwave radiation guideline. And then comparing apples to oranges is nonsense. It shines the light on the lunacy of us still believing that the FCC microwave radiation guideline means anything. It doesn't. It was on the five committee scientists that actually was on the NCRP board back in 1986 on that paper that they used to set the guideline. Three of the five worked for the CIA.
Oh, really?
So that's the bottom line. Is these guys were all funded by the CIA. They had to hit a number. They figured out a way to do it. Hey, you could read the paper. I did. All 17 chapters. 16 of the chapters are pretty reasonable. Here's what it says. Oh, there are all kinds of biological guidelines all the way back from science from the 1980s. We knew all about it. We studied it very well. But, you know, that's hard to measure. So what can we measure? Oh, let's do this heat thing over here. That's easy to measure. And so what we did is we hit chapter 17. Chapter 17 was written by the government guy. He came in. And he basically didn't care what happened in chapters 1 through 16. He just wrote what he wanted. And they picked SAR because they had to hit the number. It was a science trick for a business goal. That's all it was.
I read a review on the 5G phones, and the guy was all, you know, happy about all of the apps and everything that it has. He says, but it has one drawback compared to the 4G. He says, my ear gets real hot from it.
Yeah, exactly. Not just your ear.
Yeah.
That's all kinds of crap going into your head. Don't even approach this to your body. I mean, look, the only way to safely operate a cell phone is to keep the antennas off almost all the time. All the time. And then, once every couple of hours, turn them on, get your messages, get back to a few people, turn them back off. What else can you do? Hey, did you know that you could wire every single iPhone and iPad with Ethernet?
No, how do you do that?
Just a couple of adapters. You're done. I have it sitting here right on my desk.
So when you're at home, it's set up wired.
Oh, 100% wired. I don't have a stitch of wireless in my house. I have to tell you where I am. I'm up and over a hill on one side, up and over a hill on the other side, and I got cell towers 4 miles away from me. I'm sitting at 0.25 microwatts per square meter.
Wow, that's good.
It's really good, and I'm not moving. And that's why, in my town, there's no small cells in residential areas. Sorry.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. And you had a hand in that?
Oh, sure. It didn't take that much. We got the veto of the California bill in October of 2017, and then we rolled into my city in November and said, look, we just went to war for 6 months against the wireless industry. We won, so now I want you to go ahead and put a protective ordinance through. Can we get all the people in the room? She said, sure, let's do it. So in February, then we showed up, and we held court for 90 minutes, and we had everybody in the room. We had the city attorney, we had the city manager, we had the planning people, we had all the other people. We got there early. And we said, look, you've got interest of 15 of these small cells. We've already given you the evidence that shows there's no significant gap in coverage. Go ahead and watch that video. That's proof. We don't need any of them. So what we want to do is we want to explain this to you really well and tell you why you want to protect the residential zones. They listened. They came up with their own ideas. We put it through the Planning Commission. Oh, I know this much. There is a conference report that you can read word for word that says, it is not our intent to give the wireless industry any advantages with respect to the timing of processing of applications.
Where does it say that?
In the conference report, word for word.
And where is that conference report located?
If you actually go to scientistsforwiretech.com/compare,
compare,
we'll then see the very first paragraph has three links in it. Link one is back to this very same page. Link 2 is to the conference report. Link 3 goes to the purpose of the 1996 Telecommunications Act.
Okay.
It says to protect the property and safety of Americans.